I am Donna Hawkes. I'm your host for this program, and we're talking about issues of domestic and sexual violence. And our guest this evening, as we have had before, is Richard Milda. What we're going to be talking about this evening is how sexual violence, sexual assault, may figure into a relationship that is an abusive relationship. And so Richard is the co-facilitator for the men's re-education group that's held here in Lake Andes every Wednesday evening now. It used to be Thursday evening, and now it's Wednesday evenings from 5:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. And his co-facilitator is Lynn Archambault. And so Richard is going to be talking with us throughout the year on different issues that are relevant to us when we are experiencing an abusive relationship. So I'd like to welcome Richard. Thank you, Richard, for being with us this evening.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Richard, of course, has a lot of experience in this field and has been doing this kind of work for over eight years now.
Mm-hmm.
8 years now. And some of you across the state of South Dakota, I'm sure, know Richard through this work, or know Richard through the powwow circuit. Richard is a dancer and a champion dancer many times.
Oh, thank you.
So when you see him, don't be afraid to go up and shake hands. And let him know if you have heard one of our programs. So tonight, Richard, I would like you to address sexual assault within an abusive relationship and how that figures in. Of course, we're all aware of the physical violence, which is the most obvious, you know, with bruises or broken bones or what have you. We've talked in the past about intimidation and some other tactics, but tonight I'd like you to focus on sexual violence within a relationship, an intimate relationship.
Sure. First of all, I want to say again, thank you for having me, Donna, and say hello to all the listeners out there in cyberland. And I want to say a special hello to my children and my wife, Tawa, who are listening on the internet. I would like to say, first of all, that, you know, this is an area, Donna, that's not really talked about, and because it's such a private issue. I mean, there's such a no-talk rule around, you know, sexual violence, sexual abuse, mm-hmm. incest, as it is, you know, and yet, you know, those of us who work in the field of creating, you know, healthy changes and know how common this is and how much we do talk about it and how much we help individuals process and debrief and facilitate to other kinds of help that they may need to heal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we talk about the physical abuse and even that is getting, it's not enough, it's not being done about it. And I would be very safe to say that, I feel very comfortable saying that, Donna, most of, if not all the men that I've worked with who have chosen to use physical violence to control their partner and their tactics that we use to control our partner, that there is sexual violence there too.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, one size doesn't fit all. I think there is a continuum of severity in terms of what do we do when we're not getting consent in the marital bed or the relationship where we're intimate partners. And I think the key word is getting consent, having consent, you know,
both partners saying, yes, this is what we want to do.
Yes, exactly. And that's where the act of the sexual encounter is, both individuals are wanting to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was a theory, Donna, that this work first started looking at sexual interactions with couples in, I think it was in about in the 70s. I think her name was Linda Brown, had a theory of this thing they called the cycle of violence.
Mm.
Not the cycle where it's son learned from father and his father learned from his father. The cycle of violence where there was a honeymoon period, and then well, it started off with conflict, and that escalated into arguments, and the arguments escalated into a fight, and then the fight escalated into that led to the physical abuse of a fight, and that varied from couple to couple on the intensity of the violence used. And then after the fight, then there was the makeup.
The honeymoon period.
Mm-hmm. Right. When that was first looked at, I think it was really powerful when domestic violence as we know it today, the grassroots movement took a look at that piece and said, and women saying and having the courage to say, well, you know, that honeymoon period was when I was, you know, I had a lot of fear going on, you know, and I was only doing that because it, you know, it stopped the violence. It you know, it the makeup sex was just, you know, a piece that I had to do to maintain some sort of, you know, way to keep him happy when he was getting his physical needs met, you know, and so forth. I wasn't feeling anything other than, you know, I can't wait for this to be done, and then so he can fall asleep or pass out or whatever. So when we wake up, you know, there's no more fighting, and you know, and that's what that cycle of violence that was theorized, and you know, and then we really took a look at it, and so, you know, I think it was an important piece in the our business of domestic violence and sexual violence that we need to take a look at, and we need to continue to take a look at and talk about, you know, physical abuse and sexual abuse and the hurts that we do that, you know, our ancestors didn't even have in their thinking, you know, because that's not how we treated each other.
Mm-hmm. There was much more of a behaviors in place around all kinds of things, like a value of a human life.
Well, not only that, the value of a woman's human life, that
right.
It's that's sacred. And our ancestors knew that the sex was had a lot of power. It was wakan. It was very powerful, you know, that the effects that it had on individuals, the life that could be created mm-hmm. with sex, you know, and it had a different teaching behind it than we do today. Today, what? Sex is used to sell things, sell cars, credit cards, cell phones. It's, you know, it's used to exploit it, to you know, to do a lot of things that our ancestors didn't have in their thinking to use as, you know, to get whatever wants and needs needed to be met, not to sell things.
Right. So, you know, as you were saying, that the act of being sexually, physically intimate with one another is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And however, what happens when you were talking about, it can be a beautiful thing. What you were talking about in an abusive relationship and the supposed honeymoon period, which really, in fact, was non-existent, and we don't necessarily... I want to thank you for bringing that up, because sometimes that can be a misnomer, you know, this honeymoon period, and I'd like for you to talk more about that regarding how sex is used as a way to control the woman. And the reason we're talking about this is because it's so hard for people to even say sex a lot of times in a serious way.
Mm-hmm.
In a it's real easy for us to joke around about it and carry on about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about these things in a real serious way, people become uncomfortable because we've been so conditioned to be uncomfortable around issues of sex. And so when we start talking about issues of sex and how they're used in an abusive, in a controlling, in a violent way, people even more often will tune out. But because this is so prevalent, we're talking about spousal rape.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about how it is used to control the companion. And of course, there's also gang rape, trains that are pulled. And so for us to be as open about this as possible, and that's why it's such a pleasure to have Richard Milda here with us today on Dakota Talk Radio addressing these issues, because this is your work. This is what you do.
Well, absolutely. And I think it's we need to talk about it because there's so much, in a good way, because there's so much trying to desensitize it. You know, we talked about how it's used in commercials, how it's used in entertainment, in movies, you know, how sex and sexuality and is affecting, you know, our people. And so we need to bring that in the front yard again, where it's always been,
mm-hmm.
you know. And yes, you're right, you know, we're taught to be ashamed when it comes to our sexuality, you know. And I just can't help to always think, you know, and how our ancestors were, and how much a lot of their teachings can still apply today, you know, and the belief behind those teachings and why they're there. I mean, there's some things that you can apply because it's a different time, but there are some human teachings that are constant, and I think our culture has that. Our culture is our strength. I mean, the first sexual education story that I know of, that I was taught, comes from the pipe. You know, when Patesawi brought us the pipe, it was the first sexual education, that how we're supposed to behave. When the pipe came into our lives with the people 19 generations ago, you know, an individual wanted to have his way because he saw this beautiful woman that appeared to them out of the cloud, where another man saw something that this is sacred, we need to pay attention, there's something important going to happen. And the man that wanted to rape her was destroyed.
And she said, do what you will.
Yep.
And he did.
Yep. So our teachings are there. And that's one of the oldest ones that I know of, that I even tell children that this is how we're supposed to be. You know, when this is the first teaching on how to be towards women, is to be respectful. And so, it can be told to any age,
mm-hmm.
you know. But so our culture has a way of dealing with it. But we're, you know, and where we're at today, and I'm still learning, Ish. I'm still learning, you know, our culture and our language, and so. But today, what we have and what we're working with Donna is, you know, I work in the area of domestic violence, and we talk about sexual violence in relationships where two people are intimate. And I think the key word we need to be always conscious of, first of all, is consent. You know, when you're in a relationship and you want to have sex and you're a male and she says no, you know, and the first time you ask or make advances, she might say she's tired or she had a long day or you know, she might say why. But she doesn't even have to say why. She can just say no, and just how she says no can indicate to me she's tired. And so that, and no means no. I mean, no, we should respect that. So, you know, consent is, I think, at the forefront of of not taking that and respecting that.
And, you know, to add to that, it doesn't have to be a violent rape. It doesn't have to be a violent rape.
No.
It can be a constant, please, please, oh, come on, oh, just come on, until finally, you know, a woman might be so tired of that.
And fed up, and they give in.
She said, just, all right,
get it, you know, over
whatever,
with.
It, like right. You were talking about earlier.
Right.
And that is not...
consensual.
It's not consensual. You are, it's like being coerced into having sex.
Right. And that's where we get on the continuum. And that's exactly the discussion we have, Donna, in our class when we get to the part of sexual respect, you know, and we get to the part of what are the influences we have in our society, you know. And so, but for the, you know, another piece, Donna, that I wanted to talk about is a lot of us didn't get the sexual education in our growing up as young men. As you know, I know I didn't,
and still don't many times.
Right, right. You know, and I didn't get it until after I was, you know, was clean and sober, or thinking about putting the drugs and alcohol down, and getting into, you know, making some healthy changes in my life, where I had. You know, my father, my birth father, did everything he could. I mean, Donna, I want to first say, you know, it took me a long time to work through this, but a lot of these teachings that we're talking about should come from the father, or the father figure in the house, or the stepfather. And I love my father, but I hated what he did sometimes when he was violent. You know, it took me a long time to, if I could understand that, I would have gone through a lot of misery myself in relationships with drugs, with, you know, hurting myself, with hurting others, you know, I just, you know, but it had to happen the way it did. And so I had, our culture has wonderful mechanisms in it. There's many things in it to help us be happy, and one of them is hunkah. And so I had a hunkah father that I've had who did those things with me, who we talked about sexual respect, we talked about sex, we talked about, you know, the things I needed a father to tell me, and we were very intimate, and I love him, and I'm very thankful that he's in my life and still is, you know, that I could talk to him about anything that I wanted to, and we had a lot of fun, and went through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and so he was what my father should have done. But he is my father. We hunkah in ceremony, so he became my father. And so a lot of my teachings of sexual respect came from him, and got it at a late age, you know, where I should have been talked to like this, you know, early on. And so there are different rites of passage that we're not having in our culture that leads us into miseducation and misinformation about, you know, sex and sexual respect and the act of getting sex without consent.
And just being, and being physically intimate, and that doesn't mean that it has to be a sexual act, you know, just being close to one another.
Right.
And that includes, you know, if someone does not want those advances, it doesn't have to be a penetration. There's many things involved with sexual assaults. Many different things involved with sexual assaults. And so anywhere from penetration, full penetration, to unwanted advances.
And to be okay with, and I think, you know, and that's where we get into, you know, getting our way, which is what power and control is about. Getting our way through means of violence, coercion, threats, you know, whatever tactic we're using. I can remember having a friend who was with somebody, and he kept saying, I'm gonna have sex with her, and I'm gonna get her pregnant so she can be really mine, you know, and using that sexual act of creation as a means to control her, you know, because now that I'm with her and we're in a relationship and it's sexual and it's consensual sexual, but I want her, so I'm trying to get her pregnant so I can really have her. You know what I mean? And so that's...
In his mind.
That's in his thinking, in his belief of how to ownership. Make someone, you know, is of ownership, it's really gone wacky. And that, I know a lot of people who have talked like that, you know. And so it's really important that there's nothing sexual about violence, you know. And we need to call it what it is too, Donna, and it's called rape. Because when you don't want to have sex in your cohorts, whether it's being when we wachinko, I mean when we pout, when we don't, you know, and then we're doing all this nagging and this
pestering
and turning and just pouting, you know, and then and that just, you know, on the continuum maybe there may not be any violence or physical force or but it's still non-consensual, and that I was told, and I believe it's, you know, then we get to a gray area. Then is that non-consensual or consensual rape? Then or no, it's not. Then it is rape. We need to call it what it is
because that's it. It's rape. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think it's really difficult for men to go there because we do not. I mean, we have a hard enough time going to where we hit women to get, you know, a lot of men don't want to own that. They don't want to admit it because if they don't want to be held accountable.
Okay. So in the meantime, we have, you know, statistics are saying 1 in 3 and we all know how statistics are. They're only those that are reported. So right. In the meantime, while men are having a difficult time with this, women are being raped, women are being hurt, women are being murdered.
Right.
And so this is why this kind of venue for someone like yourself to be able to come in here to speak honestly and openly and very directly about these kinds of things, specifically about sexual violence, sexual assaults, is a very important teaching because, like you said, for yourself, you didn't get that from your father.
No.
And so you sought out someone to help you to understand yourself as a man,
right.
as an Indian indigenous man.
Right.
And so that's something very beautiful that we do have, we can look to those people. It doesn't necessarily have to be a family member. It could be somebody, you know, like my sons. They have, we took each other as brother and sister, and so they call him Uncle.
Right.
Used to call him Uncle Sad when they couldn't say his name, Uncle Chad. He was Uncle Sad.
you know.
But he became a healthy man.
Right.
He had to do the same thing you did.
Right. And, you know, it's really important, you know, when you were talking there, I was thinking of, you know, the dynamic involved in domestic violence and sexual violence in a relationship. You know, it may not happen all the time, you know, and there's times where our partners were consensual and it was something really good. It was something, you know, it was very mutual and it was very satisfying and it was very, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that in there too, because that, the same thing applies when I hear women, you know, get to that crazy making piece, Donna, where, you know, they were physically abusive, but they can be so charming and so wonderful and so, you know, this. Well, the same applies too in that area of our sexual relationships with our partners, you know, so... It's a process, and I've gone through all those things that we talked about, where I can remember wachinkoing and pouting, and you know, and I had to really take a look at myself, and when I started working, you know, working on making these healthy changes and putting down the alcohol and putting down the drugs, now I got a chance to look at my behavior, you know, and what I was doing and what I was, and the thinking behind it. You know, and the thinking behind it. And so, you know, and so that's what I did. We need to be at the forefront. Women have been at the forefront of these injustices for too long. You know, I really enjoy Al Pooley's words when, who started Fatherhood is Sacred would say it's we need to be at the front now. You know, our mothers, our sisters, our aunties, our grandmas have been at the forefront of social injustice and social issues long enough. We need to be there now. You know, it's time. Our forefathers, you know, there's a reason why they lived so well and fought so hard, because what we saw coming, and what it was how they treated, you know, those things we thought sacred, women and children. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important, you know. And then one of the first things, Don, I really had to take a look at was, where did I get my misinformation and my miseducation about sex? And a big source that I know of is from pornography, you know, and movies that excite, you know, the rated R movies or that continue the myths and that when, you know, for example, you know, this is kind of a generalization, but when a girl says no, she really means yes. Mm-hmm. You know, that myth and that fallacy.
The objectification of women and men. And when we're talking about those intimate relationships, it's not just between a man and a woman. Sometimes it's between a man and a man and a woman and a woman.
Right.
So we want to keep that in mind when we're having these discussions, because it's always in our minds.
Right, right.
It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from, or what your social standing is. Of course, none of that matters. What is the most important thing to always keep in mind is that when you do love another person, that you do that with compassion and kindness, and to value that person for who they are, not who you need them to be.
Well, exactly. That's what these classes are about, Donna. It's re-educating ourselves, because, you know, I had my own thoughts on what respect was or what sexuality was. And, you know, and there's a segue I do when we get to that topic of in class. You know, there's a little quiz I give about sexuality, and it's very simple, and it just talks about different sexuality questions.
Have our listeners take that quiz one of these times.
Oh, sure. But, you know, and again, it's re-educating ourselves. And it's at the same time, Donna, you know, it's a lot of it is it's we need to keep it as simple as possible, because it gets complicated and people have their own beliefs and their own values tied into it. And our sexuality runs deep, runs so deep to our core, you know. And so the key thing I want our listeners to let me clarify what I'm saying, you know, that no means no, and rape, when we're coercing through nagging or pouting or actual forcing, you know, then that's rape. And, you know, I really want to say this piece, Donna, that when it comes to Asian women, Black women, Hispanic women, Latino, and Caucasian women, Native American women are raped 3 times more than any other ethnic group.
Oh, a little bit more than 3 times, was like 3.5 times, yeah.
It's staggering. And not only that, most crimes of sexual violence are done with individuals staying in their own ethnic group, where, again, Native American women are raped by Indian men, Black men, white men, and that's not an uncommon reporting that we hear also.
Up to 90%, in fact, of sexual assaults, rapes against Native women are done by non-Native men.
Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if that's, you know, there's a lot of theory and stuff, but what I've heard, Donna, is that it has to do with the spoils of war kind of thing, you know, that that our ancestors, you know, have went through, that the Europeans brought over when another group of people, Ward and Juan, then the spoils of war was the ones fighting got to take the possessions, that goats,
the plunder and pillage.
Yes, and they brought that whole way of war to this country. When I say they, the Europeans, we have documentation, we have in terms of oral history and winter counts, and that, you know, that whole, you know, rape, pillage and plunder was not in our vocabulary. The thought of raping another tribe we were in conflict with wasn't even in there. In fact, we have documentations and writings of when we had our skirmishes with white people and there was women left after the battle that we took, that a lot of times they didn't want to leave because they saw how we treated our women, you know.
And they were treated better than they had been.
Right.
In their life among their own.
Yes, and we have writings on this. I mean, and I encourage you to do the research. You know, and I don't want to say our culture was utopian or perfect. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, not. But we really had our ducks in a row, you know, when it came to being inside our bodies and living with one another. It's in our language. We our ancestors are pretty cool people.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, Atakili.
Atakili. And we have that in our blood. And you talked about, we're getting towards the end of this particular program, and you talked about keeping it real simple. There's nothing more simple than to know that rape and other sexual assaults are criminal acts and are prosecuted as such. And aside from the criminality of it, again, to encourage our brothers out there to be good to one another, to encourage one another, to hold one another accountable when necessary, and how you are treating the women in your life. And that could be your intimate partner. Of course, that could be grandma, that could be auntie, that could be your niece, it could be your nephew, whatever that is. But to always encourage you to, you know, be good to yourself. When you're good to yourself and you open yourself up to teachings, whether those be our original teachings or whether those be such as in the re-education program with someone like Richard and Lynn, and in other communities. Of course, they have them out on the Pine Ridge and on the Rosebud as well. So it's not that this is just something that's real exclusive here to our community. It does exist outside our community and also in, I don't know, just kind of all across the country these things are happening.
Well, all over the world. And I think there was a report this morning, Donna, that I saw where it showed the trafficking of human beings.
Yes.
And sex slaves, that it's going on right in our front yard in this country. And so, you know, we need to constantly be aware of that, not just on the month of Sexual Assault Month, but we need to be aware of that and always what we're modeling. Are we modeling, like you said, when we're to our sons and our nephews, to laugh at jokes that objectify women, that dehumanize women, because that's not Indian, you know, that's something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So I want to say Nina Wopida Tonka Hecha to you again, Richard, every time you're here.
Uh-huh.
And for all the work that you do, and for all the work that other men are doing out in their communities who do the same kind of work, the area of domestic violence, sexual violence against Native women. And I say Native women because that's who we are, but against women, any woman, whether she's Native or whether she's white or no matter. So always thank you for the work that you do and that you're willing to share.
You're very welcome. I'm honored.
And once again, this is Dakota Talk Radio. We've been visiting this evening with Richard Milda. and Richard is a facilitator for the men's re-education program sponsored by the Women's Lodge here in Lake Andes, South Dakota. And if you're interested in participating in this program is for batterers, and it is for men who are looking to find a different way. Find a different way if you're feeling that there is something that you need to learn to be able to have a respectful, loving relationship with another. So the number you can call is 487-7130, and that's a 605-487-7130, and you can ask for Lynn and find out more about this program, which meets every Wednesday, 5:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. And we try to catch Richard as he's after the program so we can have these discussions to share with our listeners.
Iyo tie wakie ae.